Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. I'm just going to read one verse. We're a little short on time here because of all the singing, but I promise we'll be done by 3. And I hope you brought a snack in your pocket. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." I want to dissect just a little bit that verse very simply, and then we'll get into the thought this morning. But unto how many? Everyone. You know what your Bible says? Unto every one of us. That means you. That means me. Every person. Unto every one of us is given, what's the next word? Grace. So, everybody here this morning, I can promise you one thing. God has given you a measure of grace. Boy, you should be thankful for that. The grace of God's a wonderful thing. And we'll talk about that a little bit more this morning. But he says, unto every one of us is given grace. Now look to how much, to what extent. It doesn't say a pint. Does it say a drop? Does it say a bushel? It says, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm going to tell you this morning, that's an abundant grace. That's a sufficient grace. That's a grace that will take care of every need that you have. And God said he has given grace to how many? Every one of us. It doesn't matter how old you are this morning. It doesn't matter if you just got saved this week or you've been saved for 40 years. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor of a church or you're a visitor here this morning. God said to every person, God has given grace. However, what you do with that grace is up to you. God is not a respecter of persons. God says, I gave it to everyone. But now it's in your lap, and the question this morning and the title this morning is this: what to do with grace? We know that God has given it to us, but I want you to make sure that you're using that gift, you're using that measure, you're using that grace that God has given you in the way that God would have you to do so. And as we study the Word of God this morning together, I think we're going to see some things that God does want us to do or maybe not to do with the grace that he has given to all of us. So I want to have you look at a few verses. I'll give you lots of verses. I'll rattle them off real fast. You just have to listen fast. But I do want you to see a few of these verses in your Bible. Maybe mark them down. Because my goal and desire every time I stand and preach is, number one, not to preach a good message. And God usually answers that prayer. But what he does want me to do is be a help to somebody. And you this morning might sit here and say, I don't know if I need this message. I can tell you this, there will be a day you will need this message. It might be this week, it might be a month down the road, it might be 3 years down the road, but there will be a day you will need, you will cleave to the grace of God as your only hope of survival. And I want you to treat the grace of God properly in your life. So the first verse I want you to look at is in Titus. Titus chapter 2, go to towards the back of your Bible, Titus chapter 2. And we'll look at this first verse together. Heavenly Father, help us now to learn something this morning. Maybe not a brand new truth, but certainly help us to learn how to apply it in our daily living. And God, that we will take the grace that you have given to us, that measure of grace you've given to everyone, and God will do with it what would please you, in Jesus' name, and amen. Titus chapter 2, I'm going to have you follow along again. Look in your Bible, Titus 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, first of all, for the grace of God that bringeth what?
Salvation
hath appeared to how many? All men. Hey, that tells me God is not a respecter of persons. That tells me God is not a Calvinist. That tells me God is not prejudiced. That tells me that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has given us the grace enough to be saved. And the first thing that we ought to mark in our minds and in our hearts this morning about what to do with grace is this. You might want to write it down. Don't refuse God's grace. Now here he said, it's the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That means that the way we receive salvation is because of the grace of God. Can I tell you this morning, the Bible is crystal clear about that salvation does not come through works of man. Salvation does not come through your merit. Salvation does not come through your labor or through your effort or through your church membership or through your tithe or through your being good to your neighbor or obeying the Ten Commandments. It is the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men. He tells us in Acts chapter 15, but we believe that God, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. He says in Ephesians 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved. In chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I would say it's quite clear here that this grace that God gives for us to be saved is the gift of God. That means I can't earn it. It's a gift. That means I can't merit it. It's a gift. That means I can't deserve it. It's a gift. That means I don't work for it. It's a gift. That means I don't achieve it. It's a gift. How foolish, though, for any person to refuse to accept the wonderful gift of eternal life given to them by grace. Now, God said His grace brings salvation to all men. But I'll tell you this morning, some have never even heard of the grace of God. That's our fault. Well, that's the preacher's fault. No, you know people the preacher will never meet. The Bible was written for every person. The command to get the gospel to a lost and dying world is to every person. It's just not for Bible college students. It's just not for pastoral staff. It's just not for deacons or Sunday school teachers or bus captains. Hey, the salvation message must go to every man, and therefore every Christian has the responsibility and the duty to tell every person they meet about the wonderful gift of grace given to them that brings salvation. However, some have heard and never received the grace of God. That's their fault. The Bible says it's our job, Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33, it's our job to go and warn the wicked of their wicked way, then the blood is not on your hands. But if they turn down that gift of eternal life, they turn down the grace of God, that's on them. However, it's a foolish thing for anybody to refuse the grace of God concerning salvation. Can you imagine having to stand before Him someday and face to face, look Him in the eyes, having rejected His Son and His wonderful gift? And yet that's what's going to happen for many. They think that somehow God's going to give them a pass, but God says, I, out of my grace, unmerited favor, gave you the opportunity to receive the gift of salvation, and you refuse the grace of God in your life. Yea, even all today, across America and around the world, people will sit in a church like this and hear the grace of God preached and hear the gift of salvation offered. And there will be some that walk out the door having refused the grace of God. What a sad thing. Many accept God's physical life, but refuse His eternal life. Many accept His blessings, but refuse His grace. Many have accepted His patience, but refuse His grace concerning salvation. Many have accepted His mercy, but refuse His grace concerning salvation. Some refuse it because they're trying to earn eternal life, but you must accept it by grace. Some refuse it because they're trusting their religion to get them eternal life, but no, you must accept it by grace. Some refuse it because they think they have no need of it because they're a good person, but that's not the way it works. You must accept it by grace. Some refuse it because they have no concern for their eternity, but in hell they'll wish they would have received the grace of God. Now God tells us why it is He set it up this way. In my mind, and maybe in your mind, and certainly before you heard about the gift of eternal life, you thought and I thought something I had to do to earn it. There was some magical scale in heaven, and God would take all my good on one side and all my bad on the other, and hopefully it would tip the right way, and I've been a good enough boy and not done too many bad things that somehow I would merit eternal life. That's not what the Bible says. It's very clear. He said, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. And then He tells us why He set it up that way. Lest any man should boast. You see, if you received it by works instead of by grace, then when you got to heaven, you'd say, boy, do I deserve to be here. Trent doesn't, but I deserve to be here. He had his rewards down there, Mr. Lone Star. But I've made it up here to heaven now. And you'd boast about it. And God says, wait a minute now, I kicked Satan out of heaven for boasting. God said the only way any person ever receives the gift of salvation is through the grace of God. And yet what a shame that most people, the Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Most people have refused the grace of God in their life. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works, and in thy name cast out devils, and I will profess to them, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Whether you're a first time visitor at church this morning, or you're a long time church member, I beg you today, do not refuse the grace of God. Man, God got you here this morning. You're still breathing. You got clothes on and you got in your car and you drove here. Hey, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You are hearing about the grace of God that's been extended to you. Don't walk out those doors having refused the grace of God in your life. You accept it and you accept it today. But I see another thing that we're supposed to do about the grace of God. Go to Romans chapter 6 now. I said, first of all, do not refuse the grace of God. What a sad, sad thing for any person to die and go to hell when they didn't have to, just because they refused the grace of God in their life. But Romans chapter 6 tells us another thing we're supposed to do with this grace. Don't forget now, our text verse, how many of us have received grace? Everyone. Say it with me, how many?
Everyone.
Say it with me, how many?
Everyone.
Everyone. And we've received grace to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's a lot of grace. Some have refused that grace. Number two, look at it. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now I'll tell you this, Romans chapter 6 was written to save people. This is Paul writing to the Christians in Rome. And he's calling them out and he's saying, now listen, just because you've received the grace of God concerning salvation, don't you think for a moment that now you don't need the grace of God anymore and you can do what you want to do and live like you want to live and abuse the grace of God. Number two, I said, first of all, don't refuse the grace of God. Number two, don't abuse the grace of God. Don't forget what grace means. Unmerited favor. God did not give you grace because you deserved it. God did not give you grace because you've earned it. God said, I, out of my love for you and out of the fullness of the grace that's within me, I've given it to you. Don't you dare slap God back in the face when he's been so good to give you his grace. How do we do that? He says, by continuing in sin. It's true. Once saved, always saved. It's true. You cannot get unsaved. And you never have to get resaved. There's no annual membership you have to renew. It's a done deal. It's true. Your actions on earth do not undo your eternal view. It's true. God cannot, God will not erase your name from the book of life once it's written there. It's true, no matter what you've done, God will not kick you out of the family. It's true that we have eternal life and we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of the Father's hand. It's true, no man is able to receive the gift of everlasting life and it be a temporary thing. However, it is also true that we should not follow after sin only because our salvation is settled. That is called abusing the grace of God. For a person to say, well, hey, I got the free ticket to heaven, now I can do what I want. It won't change the fact that you're going to heaven and God's a liar. But it sure is a slap in the face of a gracious God to say, now that I'm saved and now that I'm going to heaven, I'm going to do what I want to do and live like I want to live and say what I want to say and do what act like I want to. No, no, no. Do not abuse the grace of God in your life. We should not live in the flesh and do the deeds of the flesh without hesitance or resistance. That is called abusing the grace of God. We should not live in unrighteousness or sinfulness or wickedness and iniquity that is abusing the grace of God. We should not feel free to wear what the world wears and listen to what the world listens to and go where the world goes and do what the world does. That is called abusing the grace of God. We should not allow the works of the flesh to rule us or be addicted to sinful habits or to lay down in submission to our besetting sins. No, friend, that is called abusing the grace of God. We should not ignore the word of God, the warning of God, or the will of God. That is called abusing the grace of God. Can you imagine? A parent takes on a second job and they work diligently and they put in long hours and they get up early and they stay up late and they save up so that when their child graduates from college and they get married, they want to buy them a house. They want to help them with that down payment. And they have scrimped and they have saved and they have worked and they have labored. And finally the day comes and they say, here's the keys. Congratulations. And that child goes in and just tears the place up. Now, is it still their house? But you just abused the grace of mom and dad. And the same is true with a car. The same is true with anything that's been given to us. But God has never given anything, or no person has ever given anything so great as God has given to us. And how foolish, how wrong for us to abuse the grace of God in our life. In Jude it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were of old ordained in this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How wrong of us to wipe our worldliness across the grace of God. How brazen of us to blow in the nostrils our sinfulness of a holy God. How unethical of us to unashamedly live in ungodliness before God's eyes. How unappreciative of us to wad up the grace of God and throw it into the cesspool of our own iniquity. Do not abuse the grace of God. The eternal grace of salvation is free and it is forever. But God's daily grace to you is earned and has a limit. Listen to these verses. And the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. You know what that means? At some point, I cut off and say, you know what? You're abusing my grace. I draw the line there. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. But he giveth, listen to this, he giveth more grace. Wherefore God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That means that I can have more of the grace of God if I don't abuse the grace He's already given to me. But God says, you want to be proud and think you're your own deal and you can run your own life? Don't expect me to give you more grace. Because I resist the proud. I give grace to the humble. Number one, I said, don't refuse the grace of God. Man, accept it this morning. I said, number two, don't abuse the grace of God and just live your own way. Number three, you go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, just because God is merciful and just because God is kind and just because God is long-suffering and just because God is patient and just because God is gracious, you better not confuse the grace of God into thinking that He has become passive or unjust and is willing to overlook your sin. Number three, don't confuse the grace of God. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. You know the verse. Be not what? Deceived. God is not what? Mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're not careful, because of the gracious hand of God in your life, you'll think sometimes and listen to the lie of the devil in your ear that you're getting by with sin. Because after all, God is gracious. No, no, no. You are confusing the grace of God. Some think that they are getting by with sin. They are not. Some think that God is letting them off. He is not. Some think there will be no consequences for what I do. You are wrong. Some think God will not judge me. Yes, He will. Some think, oh, there will be no chastening. Yes, there will. Some think because others seem to be getting by with it, I'm going to get by with it. You are mistaken. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. I will recompense, saith he. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Just because the hammer has not fallen yet does not mean it's not coming. Just because it seems okay so far does not mean that you should confuse the grace of God in your life. Just because you seem to still have some blessings, don't get yourself deceived and think, I can just keep living on like I'm living. After all, I still got a job. After all, I still got some help. After all, God is still good to me and God is still gracious to me. Hey, it's going to be okay. You are confusing the grace of God. And I promise you, God is a just God. And God is a holy God. And the judge of all the earth shall do right. Do not confuse the grace of God in your life. God's ways are not your ways. God's timetable is not your timetable. God's thinking is not your thinking. God's methods of judgment are not what you understand them to be. But do not be fooled. Do not be deceived. Do not be mistaken. Do not be confused. My Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Oh, I praise the Lord for his mercy. And his long-sufferingness. And his grace. But do not confuse God's grace with apathy or ignorance or forgetfulness. He does see. He does know. And he does chasten. He said in Revelation, for as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, I can promise you this morning. God loves you. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that doubts that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. No one can look at what Christ went through on the cross and not see the love of God reflected your direction. So I know that God loves me, and God says, as sure as I can be about God's love in my life, I can be about God's chastening in my life. You see, you have to remember, when you get saved, you become his child. I'd like to discipline the kids across the street, but they ain't mine. And they should be thankful. I'm really thankful. But mine, that's my responsibility. And God says, because you're my child, you can bank on the fact I'm a perfect father. I don't do it out of hatred. I don't do it out of vengeance. But I will chasten my own. He reminds us that every one of us will stand before God and give an account of everything done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But look up in here, dear friend, God is not a Santa Claus. God is not a pushover. God is not just a well-meaning grandfather. He is not just a God of love. He is the judge of all the earth. He is perfect. He is just. He is righteous. He is a flaming fire. He is a jealous God. And he is a God that will not be mocked. If you're living in sin today, I beg of you not to listen to the lie of the devil, who wants you to believe you can just keep on the same path and it's going to be okay. Because after all, God is gracious. You have confused the grace of God. You might want to remember how God drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden for one sin of disobedience. You might want to remember how God flooded the whole earth and wiped out every breathing thing because of sin. You might want to remember how God judged Abraham, the friend of God, because he lied about his wife. You might want to remember how God judged Lot and he lost all that he had because he made a selfish decision. You might want to remember how God allowed Jacob, the deceiver, to get tricked about his wife and have his wages changed 10 times. You might want to remember how God put his people into captivity in Egypt because they worshiped false gods. You might want to remember how God gave Miriam leprosy because she criticized Moses. You might want to remember how God opened up the earth of the children of Israel for complaining and swallowed 250 of them alive. You might want to remember how God sent fiery serpents among them and killed hundreds for griping about the food. Don't go to camp and remember that verse. Remember how God destroyed them at Ai for taking what belonged to him? You remember how God sent a plague in the midst of them and killed 14,700 of his own people for murmuring against leadership? Remember how God wiped out 24,000 of his people with another plague because they followed after idols? Remember how God did not let Moses even enter the promised land after 40 years of going through the wilderness because he smote the rock instead of speaking to it? Remember how God took the throne away from Saul because he became proud? Remember how God took 4 lambs from King David, the man after God's own heart, because he committed adultery and then refused to repent? Remember how God killed 70,000 men with pestilence when David numbered the people? Remember how God allowed his people to be taken into captivity for 70 years because of sin? Oh, I love to preach on the love of God. I love to talk about the mercy of God. I love to be reminded of the goodness of God, and I love to sing songs about the grace of God, but there is no getting around it. This Bible right here is full of the judgment of God on the people of God for their sins against God. And can I tell you this morning, we live in the greatest land on all the earth. And I'm proud to be an American, but we cannot continue to coast down the road of wickedness and the road of murdering our unborn and the road of adultery and the road of homosexuality and the road of socialism and not expect God to not come along sometime and say, enough. Don't confuse the grace of God. God has not, is not, and never will be okay with sin. And it doesn't matter if it's in America or in the church house. Judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord. No doubt God is loving. No doubt God is patient. No doubt God is merciful. No doubt God is long-suffering. No doubt God is forgiving. But do not confuse the grace of God that He will fail somehow to judge me, judge you, and judge us for our sin. I said, number one, don't refuse the grace of God concerning salvation. I said, number two, don't abuse the grace of God concerning your own sin. I said, number three, don't confuse the grace of God concerning His judgment. Last one, go to Hebrews chapter 4. For the Bachman, I thought we were going to come to church today and be encouraged. And all you've done is ripped on our face and told us to get right and leave sin behind. And the judgment of God has come. My goodness, preacher, I came here hoping to have a smile on my face when I left. You can. Lunch is next. But now look at Hebrews. And here's another thing that God tells us about the grace of God. And I'll tell you, dear friend, this is the good news. I certainly believe that the gift concerning salvation, that's pretty good news, is it not? But here's some more good news. The grace of God didn't stop when you got saved. There's more grace available. And he tells us here in Hebrews and chapter number 4 and verse 16. Let us. Now that is talking about saved people. Again, the book of Hebrews also written to individuals that had trusted Jesus Christ. Those that were on their way to heaven. Those that had a relationship with God. And to you and to me, those of us that are here this morning that are in this boat, we trusted Jesus Christ. We know we're on our way to heaven. He tells you and he tells me, let us come boldly to the throne of, what's it say?
Grace.
That ye might obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. Can I tell you this morning that God could have called His throne anything? He could have called it the throne of judgment. He could have called it the throne of holiness. He could have called it the throne of majesty. He could have called it the throne of righteousness. He could have called it the throne of justice. He could have called it the throne of honor. He could have called it the throne of power. He could have called it the throne of glory. And all of those titles certainly would have been applicable to us, His children. But He says, hey, this is what I've called my throne. It is the throne of grace. Aren't you glad that it was just not the gift of God concerning salvation that showed you grace, but in your valley and in your difficulty and in your tough times and when your health fails and when your finances are a mess and when your relationships are struggling, God said, I still have grace that's sufficient for you. Come boldly to the throne of grace. God has a supply of grace for everyone to help us get through every trial, every heartache, every burden, every struggle, and every tragedy that we face in life. And I say number four to you this morning, and finally, don't fail to use the grace of God. He's given you an open invitation. He told you to come and to come boldly. And I can promise you that you'll never show up and find a closed for business hours sign. You'll never show up and have to wait a long time in line. You'll never show up and God says it costs a certain amount of money for my grace. Never show up and God doesn't have time for you. He says any time of the day, any time of the night, any time that you're going through it, you always have access to the throne of grace to help you in your time of need. Don't fail to use the grace that's been offered you. If this morning I found out the truth about Brother Ogdi, that he's a multi-billionaire. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I think he won the lottery or something. He's a multi-billionaire. And being a loving pastor, he told y'all, now, anytime you need money, it's not an issue. I've got more than I know what to do with. All you got to do, come to my office. I don't care if I'm in there with somebody. I don't care if I'm in there praying or smoking or whatever I'm doing in my office. You can come anytime and just knock on the door and I'll give you what you need. Now look up in here. You would be stupid. You would be ignoramus. You would be a fool. That if you had a time of need and he really had the money and he was really that willing to help you. Now I'm not talking about you want a piece of bubble gum. I'm talking about they're about to cut off your electric. I'm talking about they're about to foreclose on your house. Don't you think it'd just be kind of foolish for you not to come knock on his door? If you really believed he loved you that much and he really had the resources you need, you'd be foolish not to use what was offered to you. But much greater than any amount of money. Because I can tell you this, money is not the answer to everything. Because when your marriage is struggling, money's not the answer. And when your children are on the verge of running to the world or running to the Lord, money's not the answer. And when your health is failing, money's not the answer. And when your relationships are struggling, money is not the answer. But the grace of God is always the answer to help you in your time of need. And God has told you and me this morning, I want you to come. And I want you to come boldly.
I want you to knock on my door. Anytime you think I can't make it by myself. And I will give you grace to help in your time of need. And yet, even though we know that theologically, and we know that doctrinally, and it makes for good preaching, how many times in your life have you struggled to just make it anyway, all by yourself, when God's grace was available? And you failed to use the grace that God has for you. Oh, dear friend, if there's such an abundant measure of grace available to me, I don't want to fail to use the grace of God in my life. His grace is sufficient. But, dear friend, He will not force it on you. You've got to come ask for it. And can I remind you of what James said? We have not because we ask not. How we must frustrate God to be so good and gracious to offer a free pass, and we just try to do it by ourselves. Oh, don't do that, friend. I beg of you this morning, whenever you find yourself in a time of need, come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't try to go through life in your own power. Use the grace of God. Don't try to go through life in your own strength. Use the grace of God. Don't try to go through life with your own wisdom. Use the grace of God. Don't try to go through life with your own ability or your own endurance or your own might. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We have all we need found in the grace of God. We need now the grace of God. And I can promise you, there'll be a day you need it just for one more breath. If you're at your wit's end, go to the throne of grace. If you don't know how you're going to make it through, go to the throne of grace. If you're near despair, go to the throne of grace. If you have no more strength to go on, go to the throne of grace. If you can't see your way out, go to the throne of grace. If you have no hope for tomorrow, go to the throne of grace. If the doctors have given you but just a short time to live, go to the throne of grace. If you have more month than you do money, go to the throne of grace. If you're burdened more than you feel you can bear, go to the throne of grace. God's grace is marvelous. God's grace is infinite. God's grace is matchless. God's grace is wonderful. God's grace is sufficient. And God's grace is amazing. But unto every one of us is given grace. Now the question is, what you're going to do with His grace? Heavenly Father, would you help us please this morning to understand that You have been so good. The word grace itself indicates it's not because of our merit. It's not because we deserve it, but just because You're a gracious God. But this morning and every day, would You help us please to do what we ought to do with this measure of grace? This morning, if you're here, dear friend, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking you don't know about Him. I'm not talking about you don't believe that He lived on the earth and died and was buried and rose again. I'm talking about there's never been a time that you put your trust in Him and Him alone as your only hope of heaven. You must do that. And today is your day to be saved.